Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. We're at facebook.com/radiocafemc and on Twitter at radiocafemc. I'm delighted now to welcome to the program Frank Regano. He's co-executive director of Parallel Studios, which is producing Currents 2012 at El Museo Cultural. It opens tonight. Welcome. Welcome back.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. Glad to be here.
Now, this is becoming an annual event. Currents started, what, a few years ago, right?
This is the third year. Yeah.
And it is a video, primarily video installation show of people from all over the world.
Yeah, it's video installations, but also single channel videos, like where you just sit in front of a screen and watch videos. There's also a web component where we have web art that you can look at on IMAX, but that it's also citywide. It's not just at El Museo. It's also at IAIA.
Institute of American Indian Arts.
It's also at CCA, the Center for Contemporary Arts. What's happening at IAIA is there's their digital dome. There's several evenings of the digital dome. At CCA, there's video installation, interactive installation in the Spectre Rips Gallery. There's three evenings of what we're calling expanded documentaries, Sunday, July 1st, July 2nd, and July 3rd. And in Domingo's Waxman Warehouse, there's a lobby up front of video installations. And on the back, on the 29th and 30th, there's performances called Garden 2 by Chris Jonas.
So this is expanded way out.
Yeah, it's at Zane Bennett Gallery. Yeah. It's at Lucky Bean Cafe. But people should just go to our website and look at the schedule.
Exactly. Yeah. So meanwhile, the vision that you have and that you've been expanding in the years that you've been doing this is basically... Is it something that you can describe? I mean, every year that I go, I'm blown away by how cool and amazing it is. But I can't, I don't know how I would say what the overarching vision is.
Well, we're showing mostly people that are up-and-coming artists, I would say. And we get work submitted from all over the world. So we're showing people's work from all over the world. And one of our big things is that everything is free. The only thing that's not free, all the exhibits, all the events, everything is free. The movie, the documentaries, everything. Because we really want to expose the community to what's happening, the newest technology in the media arts. And so that's really our goal is to, we have all families, kids love it, so it's really for everybody.
So we have a number of artists who are sitting here around the table and not enough time to talk in depth to everybody, but let's do the best we can. We have Yefeng Wang, who is from China and who lives in the United States, and your installation is called Well-Disciplined Kids.
Right.
And in it, you have these sort of slightly almost surreal-looking babies wearing little neck scarves that look like they're in the Boy Scouts or in some kind of
red
youth
scarf,
organization.
That's what they call it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a thing that we all have to wear when we were primary school kids and, you know, middle school kids. That's a sign. You know, so it's associated to the Communism Party thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's other imagery, military imagery, kind of Chinese dragons, sort of. Your work, as we talked about, I was over there yesterday, is really bringing together a lot of different themes that you represent, being kind of a bridge between the old and new cultures in China.
Right. I mean, I'm from China, and you know, I have been living there for over 25 years, and I'm you know, kind of like a representative of Chinese post 80s. So I think my work is directly related to my generation, and I have all of these kids, and you know, the texture of these kids on my face. They come from my face, so you know, they look like kids, but they are actually I consider they are duplications of myself.
And when you say that you're part of the post-80s generation, what does that mean to you?
I was born after, you know, I was born in 1984. So that's just, you know, how we call that generation.
Right, but in terms of what these people who were born in the 80s and beyond are experiencing right now in China.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, for that generation, it's a very special generation because, you know, it's kind of related to the Chinese old political things, the Cultural Revolution. You know, we haven't totally walked away. Our parents are in the Cultural Revolution, but, you know, we don't have directly experience getting involved in that that thing. And we are Chinese opened up, and you know we are receiving a lot of new information from the world. We're getting westernized a lot, the commercial culture. We are getting all of these information. So it's like a huge blender. Blends all of these contents.
One thing we should point out too is that his piece is interactive, which means
right.
that as you approach it, the your presence alters the video.
But it's subtle. It's not like you
subtle.
See yourself or something like that.
That's right. It's very subtle.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Let's move on. Chris Coleman, you are part of a piece called Wi-Fi, which is really in a lot of ways about asking questions about digital technology.
Yeah, my wife and I, my wife is Lale Mehran. We've been working together quite a number of years, both collaboratively but in an assistive way as well. And we took on this project as an attempt to think about diversity originally, thinking about diversity in the digital space. And so, but we didn't take the normal path, which is to sort of just be critical of the world. We decided to try and create a pathway to making a better space. And so creating Wi-Fi is an attempt to shape a transformative environment where you can go and learn and consider the way that you treat other people in the digital world and how we can move to a sort of a better space of thinking there.
So part of the whole digital world that we all experience is that we're all physical beings breathing, eating, interacting with each other, but then the digital, all the ways in which we interact, particularly social media, kind of blur that and we're glued. I mean, I don't even like this stuff that much, I'm glued to my screen many, many hours a day and form relationships that are not taking place in physical space.
Yeah, for us, I think we really thought quite a bit about the notion that perhaps our digital selves have started to become more important than our physical selves, where I would rather you hit me in the face than damage my Facebook profile. and so thinking about that relationship, if that digital self is so important, and if any other digital self can affect your digital self just with an errant tweet, then you really have to start reconsidering about how you're treating other people in that space.
Now, tweets are part of your installation.
Yeah, you'll see live tweets coming in from the Santa Fe area and a number of other sort of interactive components as visitors come and hopefully learn about the Wi-Fi so much that they want to join it and their face will be added to a huge network of people who are ready to Wi-Fi.
What does that mean, being ready to Wi-Fi?
We see Wi-Fi as a new verb. We're thinking of it in, Wi-Fi, or the Wi-Fi is a network that we think of as this invisible connectivity. And so in that same way, we think that we have an invisible connectivity to everybody in digital space. But what if we do it together as a we? What if it's not just about I? What if it's about empowering everybody together? And so that's why we came up with Wi-Fi. We're doing things together.
Do you have a vision of how that is done?
I think it really is a sort of there's a little bit of a manifesto that reads out through the exhibition, and it's basically just reconsidering who you are, how you want to be treated. It's a little bit of like golden rule applied to the digital world in a way.
Yeah.
That thinking about how we could be so much better together, if you just take a moment and consider before you write that really mean thing on somebody's website. So
anonymously.
That's right.
Exactly. We're talking about Currents 2012. And I'd like to introduce now Fernanda D'Agostino. Her video installation is called Pool. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
So this is a piece, and again, I went over there yesterday and saw all of these pieces in progress, and it's such an exciting time to see an exhibition of any kind because the artists are there and everybody's installing. So I didn't see the fullness of yours, but basically you're working with, there's a lot of water imagery in this,
it's a total coincidence. We didn't plan it or even pick it that way. We were actually surprised at the end after making our choices. We went, Wow, there's a lot of water in
a
this.
A lot of water as New Mexico burns.
Yeah.
But your piece is, it's called Pool, and there's the image of a person swimming, and then tell us about it.
Well, there's actually, I started out as an installation artist working with sculpture, and my projects always have a sculptural component. And Pool is actually, there are five video streams that are being mixed by a software patch. And so when people see the video, it's not edited to look the way it is. The different elements of the video are flowing together in these streams of consciousness. And I really wanted to try to use computer memory to simulate what happens in our own stream of consciousness and our own memories. Because my work has always been focused on memory, and there's a memory system from ancient times called the Art of Memory. And it's the way that ancient people were able to remember, like, the Odyssey, for example.
Right.
And that was all place-based, and you would create a mental place and then put your memories within that, or the elements of the story, the elements of the epic. And I became really fascinated with that about 30 years ago, and my work's all sort of springing from that. So when I realized that you could create an interactive space that would really simulate the way memory act in a place, I got really excited about that, and so that was the genesis of Pool.
It's so interesting to me the way what seems like really non-human digital technology ends up telling us about some of our most human qualities, like memory.
Well, that was really fascinating to me, too. And when I started researching about the Art of Memory again in preparation for this project, I found that the people that developed computer memory, when they first were talking about user interfaces, they studied the ancient Art of Memory from the Greeks. Because
amazing.
It was, you know, Windows. Because when people were trying to remember, you know, like the Ulysses was not written. It was an ode that was memorized, and all of that was placed into architectural spaces. So when they were trying to come up with computer memory and how to have a human interface, that's how they decided how to do it.
So that piece is called Pool. Let's move to Santina Amato. Her piece is called Horses Shed Their Tails Once a Year in the Fall. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now you, what was it? You apprenticed with somebody who was restoring ancient carousels? Not ancient, but
ancient.
Antique.
Yeah, I was volunteering at a carousel restorer studio in LA for 3 months last year. I was just looking to be inspired, you know, to create new works. And I was wanting to hone in on something that was typically, you know, American and embedded in the memory of the American culture.
And so you found this. Tell us about the title of the piece, because I think it's very interesting.
Okay, so it's called Horses Shed Their Tails Once a Year in the Fall. And on my first day of going and volunteering at this carousel restorer studio, the lady was taking me around and showing me all the horses and telling me the history of them. And there were the tails coming out of these wooden horses. I said to her, you know, are they real? And then she said, you know, told me a story that children would actually ask her this at the carousels, and she'd always say to him, you know, horses shed their tails once a year in the fall, and turned around and said, you know, you can't possibly talk about death, you know, in front of a carousel and, you know, in front of children. It was really interesting because I didn't know who she was actually protecting, the children or the carousel, because I find collectors have this intense relationship with what it is that they collect. And it was just this really strange thing. And so, yeah, I used a real horse's tail in the work, and this image came up, and I don't know, I shoved the horse's tail in a woman's mouth, and that was the first image that came, and then the rest of the works that have came out of that.
And so it's really about lying.
Yes.
And the lies that we tell to children, or that people tell to children, and you really wonder whether you're doing them a service or doing them harm.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my work definitely, I touch on childhood and adulthood and, you know, that sort of transitional thing. And, you know, that was a thing that stood out, the lies that we do actually tell children, and whether, you know, who are we actually protecting here? Is it the children, or is it like ourselves, you know, holding on to this idea of, you know, children, innocence of childhood and things
right.
like that.
And,
you know,
it's nostalgic. And we do horrible things to animals and don't really want to let on.
Yes.
We're talking about Currents 2012 and talking to various artists in that show. And we're joined by Jason Verone, whose piece is called Supercell. And this really, I was looking at you painting this gigantic smoke plume and thinking, did you paint this for a state that is engulfed in fire?
Well, no. You know, it's almost an ambiguous plume of smoke that I feel like you can see almost anywhere you look now. I mean, I started working on these plumes when Deepwater Horizon blew up in the Gulf a few years ago, and then I noticed this shape would appear everywhere in the newspaper with, you know, missiles from Iraq, or the seemingly increasing amount of tornadoes and volcanoes and natural and unnatural disasters. So I felt like it was a perfect symbol to describe sort of the predicament civilization is in.
And so this shape that you are painting, I look at it and I see the fire that's burning in Corrales, or you see Deepwater Horizon and tornadoes and all sorts of other things.
Well, that's why I entitled it Supercell, which I feel like, I know that term is used for large tornadoes, but I feel like maybe it could be used to describe all of these things together in one, you know, absurdly large plume of smoke.
Namely, disasters made by us humans.
Well, or not made by us. I mean, you know, because certainly we can't be blamed for volcanoes, so.
Good point. The one thing that we really don't have anything to do with whatsoever. Now, there is some text that is part of this, as well as your painting and video.
So I took some passages out of a 19th century book by George P. Marsh called Man and Nature, and it was a novel that was popular at the time that spoke about the dangers of industrialization and its effect on the landscape. And George P. Marsh was part of the Hudson River painters, you know, sphere, and they were all very concerned about what was happening to the environment. And so it's rather poignant, the text, even though it was written so long ago, and it definitely pertains to now.
Let's just explain a little bit what's happening with Jason's piece is that he spent the past 2 days or 3 days now?
Two and a half days.
Painting this plume of smoke on a wall, like an 18-foot wall by 10 feet high. And then he's projecting video onto the painting itself. So you have two mediums that are working together here, painting and video.
Right, yeah. Which is one of the many beauties of this whole Currents show is that there's so many, there's such the touch of the human hand, and
yes,
I mean, there's so many others that we're not going to talk about right now because the artists aren't there, and ladies and gentlemen, you will have to go to the show. Let's turn right now to the last artist who is sitting at the table here with us, Sophie Clements. Her piece is called Thereafter, and you collaborated with some very high-level scientists to get the inspiration for what is basically a three huge video, like, I don't know what you call it, triptych or whatever, a kind of an animation of things in space.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the project was based on a period of research with a particle physicist and an organic chemist. And we were basically exploring the idea of families and lines of belonging. And we chose to explore the idea of the forces between things, how to kind of make visual or make understandable how important the bonds between things are, that being between families, being between people, and also between atoms. And so we're kind of exploring that kind of space where we're metaphorically speaking about human relationships whilst we're also speaking about scientific relationships. And the video piece visually is three explorations of a moment of change, so using physical material and physically taking a material through a process of change, so that being explosions or water dropping or wood falling. And I like to call these pieces video sculptures because, in a sense, they're not following a narrative in the way that you might usually expect to see a narrative in video. They're just revolving observations on this moment of change, or this moment of transition.
And we unfortunately don't have time to talk about the way in which which this is done, but if you were there, people can actually probably stop and talk to you. But yeah. It's a fascinating...
On Saturday from 1 to 3... A lot of the artists are actually going to do some tours of the space.
Oh, good.
And a lot of artists will be present at their work to explain their work to the – or not explain, that's actually a terrible word – to actually talk about their work
right.
with the public.
Well, it's – and this piece in particular, of course, all of them in different ways are really worth doing that. But I think it's – when I think about, for example, the bonds that hold together the particles in an atomic nucleus – it's a little hard to understand, but the thing that to me is most interesting about that is precisely their metaphorical value.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I mean, that's for me what was super interesting about the whole area of quantum physics, or nuclear physics, whatever you want to call it, because it deals in abstract ideas. So as an artist, you can, or as a musician or a choreographer or whatever, you can take these abstract ideas and then explore them in your own medium, and I was very lucky to be working with a physicist who also was able to kind of see how her abstract ideas could be able to cross over into another medium, so it was very interesting.
Yeah, and following up from what Sophie's talking about, this year we've added a component where we're showing 3D simulations of things like ribosomes and different particles that is being done by scientists from Lanl and Sandia, which is going to happen at the Lucky Bean Cafe on July 6th.
So much going on that we can't even begin to talk about it all, but there's also this...
The website,
which is currentsnewmedia.org, and there's an expanded documentary series at the CCA on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, and you can look on the website about that. Lots of good stuff, and I want to thank you, Frank Rugano, co-executive director of Parallel Studios, which is producing Currents 2012 at El Museo Cultural and all over the city. Thanks to you and all the other artists for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.